Well, as I'm sure you all know, we finished our meditation last time for our prayer meeting when we were considering the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And I felt that we should perhaps now move on to the next epistle, and that's the Epistle to the Philippians. And perhaps tonight just speak on the first two verses and also give perhaps an introduction to the this epistle to the Philippians. So we'll just read the first two verses in the first chapter in this epistle to the Philippians. And those verses read, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This letter that the apostle wrote to the Philippians was again written from Rome, indeed like the one was to the Ephesians. And we can think that it was many years since that occasion had occurred that we read in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. But it would seem quite clearly that the Apostle Paul had perhaps a special attachment to the Philippian church. Firstly, they had really an exemplary deportment and character. They were indeed different to the churches which were at Galatia and Corinth. And so we see there is a difference between them. And the apostle here, then as he addresses the church at Philippi, is indeed able to recognize them as those who had received the gospel. This was the first place in Europe that the gospel was preached. And it was quite amazing how, as we read in that 16th chapter, the apostle was intending to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not let him do so. And instead, he had this wonderful vision that appeared to him at night when he tells us, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And it is, of course, very wonderful to think that the Lord here called the apostle to go into Macedonia. And he went there, of course, with Silas. And I think it was something about 150 miles. They had to travel from Troas, where they were, and to go across to this place of Philippi. But it was quite clear that God was with them. But in this situation, although God was with them, they still had an exceedingly difficult time. They had encouragements, but they had a difficult time. And it's good to consider these things still with us in our day and age, because we might be instructed by God, we might do God's will and purpose, but things might not always work out as smoothly as we might anticipate. And we're told in this 16th chapter that they arrived in Macedonia and went into Philippi, which was the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and they abode there certain days. And on the Sabbath, they went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And they sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And there was a wonderful blessing, because there was a woman called Lydia who had worshipped God, and they heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Well, that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? To think that Paul had been directed to go across to Macedonia. He'd done so. He'd obeyed God. He didn't know what the position was going to be. He didn't know what he was going to find there. And yet God blessed. Really, we might think this opening occasion, perhaps the first service, as it were, the first prayer meeting. And God blessed this woman who was a seller of purple. But of course, the result was, as we read on further, she was baptized and she constrained them to stay with her, which they were willing to do. And then we're told, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Well, we see that that was stopped because the Lord heard the command, as it were, of the apostle Paul, and the evil spirit came out of her. And therefore, what happened? Well, her masters saw hope of their gains were gone. What do? They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, who brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble this city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, be it to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." So we see here the apostle Paul and Silas had been able to preach the gospel, the glorious good news, but it wasn't received and it wasn't accepted. And therefore we're told the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So what a change for the apostle and Silas. Here they were then doing God's will, and yet you see being beaten. And having received many stripes, they were given to the jailer, who cast them into prison and to keep them safely. And having received such a charge, they were thrust into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Well, it's not our intention this evening to go through all this chapter, but you can read it at your leisure. And as I'm sure many of you know, it carried on in this prison house. There was a wonderful time when the jailer and all his family were blessed indeed. What a mercy then. And there was therefore a wonderful outcome to this visit to Macedonia, a wonderful outcome to the command of God, the wonderful outcome to the obedience of Paul and Silas. And now, after many years, we find Paul in prison. And we find Paul writing this epistle to the Philippians. And he and Timotheus would appear to be with him in the prison, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So we see there have been a wonderful growth in the church there. There we have, in this 16th chapter, the first convert, Lydia, and then the jailer and his family. But now we're told there were all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And bishops, of course, were really elders, and we might say preachers of the gospel, and the deacons. So there'd been a wonderful change, a wonderful time of blessing. And what a mercy that is, to know that still today, the God of heaven and earth is able to do, in our day, far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And we are still able to preach the glorious gospel that the apostle Paul was able to preach, which had such a wonderful effect upon those people all those years ago. And God was with him. And so we're told then the apostle speaks to sends a letter to these Philippians with these wonderful words: "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we still need today the same blessings that the apostle desired for the Philippians. We still need these blessings, the blessings of grace, the grace of God, the free unmerited favor, because that grace brings spiritual life. That grace brings spiritual blessings. That grace brings us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace grants us union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace shows us that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and we are traveling through this world to our celestial city, glory at last. Well, what a blessing for us today then, to have the evidence that we do possess the grace of God. We can say surely in this account, this wonderful statement of, we often refer to as sovereign grace. And it was, and it is, sovereign grace. God grants this grace. He grants it today. And what a mercy if you and I are the recipients of it. Surely there's much reason to praise God for his mercy, for his love to such unworthy sinners. We don't deserve the grace of God. But what a blessing if we have the evidence in our hearts that we have received it. And then he goes on to say, and peace. There is no true peace in this world. Men, women, boys and girls, strive for it. There is really only peace in the knowledge of Christ. And the apostle says here, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful blessing, this wonderful favor of peace, which God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give to his church. It's a peace of God which passeth all understanding, because it transcends all the things of this vain world. What does it do? It directs us to Calvary. And we see there at Calvary the suffering Son of God shedding his most precious blood in order to atone for our sins. And surely we recognize the wonderful truth of those words of the hymn, peace by his cross has Jesus made. So, my friends, tonight, may we be found looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And may it please God to bless us as we meditate in this epistle to the Philippians in the weeks ahead, and grant that we may indeed praise God that he has given us such an account to encourage us. Well, may the Lord bless us each.